This morning we chanted the Anattalakkhana Sutta. Within this, the Buddha gives his essential teaching on the direct means of establishing insight into anicca, dukkha, anatta, into establishing the right view or the right understanding in relationship to the experience of body and mind. He follows a way of analysis, vibhajyavada, exploring how what we think of as ourselves, this body, female body, male body, old body, young body, tall body, short body, healthy body, sick body, these feelings, vedana, pleasant feeling, painful feeling, neutral feeling, sanya, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, sankhara, thinking, imagining, remembering, our intentions, our emotions, our moods, the whole conceptual realm, sankhara, and vijnana, the very act of discriminative consciousness itself, the faculty of mind that discriminates one thing from another. We put these together and call it my body, my mind, my life, my story. And in the Anattalakkhana Sutta, the Buddha very carefully, deliberately, helps us to take it apart, to deconstruct this person, this entity, this psychophysical apparent being, this me that we think that we are. It's a very gentle, clear, and direct exploration. He doesn't take the approach of telling us what we are, what the ultimate reality is, but rather he approaches the spiritual issue, the spiritual work, by helping us to identify, to explore the habits that we have of identification with the body, with the mind. He helps us to recognize the delusions that the mind clings to. I am this body. I am this personality. I'm old, I'm young, I'm a woman, I'm a man. I'm tall, I'm short. I have an age, a nationality, a story. Each of the aspects of body and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana, he helps us to recognize each of these is in a state of change. If something is in a state of change, then it can't possibly be permanently satisfying. And that which is changing and unsatisfying, can that truly be said to be who we are? Can this truly be said to, this is me, this is what I am, this is myself? Etang mama eso hamasmi, eso me ata. This inquiry is then based on the belief of his time that if there was an ata, it would be blissful, permanent and true. Sat Chit Ananda, true, blissful, personal, reliable. So this way of approach is helping us, helping this mind to stop identifying with what it is not, to recognize the habits of identification with body, personality, personal stories, feelings, perceptions. And through the way of exploring, examining, analyzing, to strengthen the wisdom faculty that recognizes, this is not me, this is not what I am, this is not myself. Ne tang mama, ne so hamasmi, ame so me ata. It's not a belief system. We're not trying to make ourselves believe we don't exist. But it's a way of exploring, a set of tools to explore the habits of thinking, I am this feeling. This pain in my leg is mine. These memories are mine. I am hearing the sound of this voice. It's me. I hear it. It is me. I do hear it. Turning the attention back onto that experience of the subject. We say, I hear this voice. What does that I look like that's doing the hearing? I hear the sound of the bell. We say, I. What shape is that I? Does it have edges? Where is it? Can you point to a spot in space where that I, the hearer, is? Is that I old, young, tall, short, fat, thin? Blue, yellow, purple, red? This way of exploration, this way of investigation, helps the mind to explore these assumptions. I feel, I hear, I think, I do, I choose. Turns the attention back onto those assumptions. And with wisdom, there's the question, is that so? I hear. Is that so? What is this I that's doing the hearing? The me. What is that? Where is it? What qualities does it have? As the practice is developed, the mind settling, developing insight, the more completely it's able to bring that quality of wisdom to bear upon those feelings of me who's doing, me who's hearing. I understand, I don't understand. And in bringing wisdom to bear upon those feelings, those perceptions, as they're explored, when the mind inquires, is that so? What is this I that is doing, the me that hears? Those memories are mine. As the quality of wisdom is brought to bear upon those feelings of I and me and mine, steadily becomes clearer. Those are presumptions, just convenient fictions, ways of phrasing things. There's hearing, there's remembering, there's choosing, there's feeling, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching. But to attribute those to an I or to a me, to a separate individual entity existing in space and time, is a presumption. Something that the habits of thinking and identification add on to an experience. As hearing, feeling, arising and passing away. Thinking, arising, passing away. Moods, arise and pass away. That which is aware of the moods, the feelings, the sounds, the tastes, memories, the ideas, all that can really be said is that it knows. It's aware, it's awake. But exactly what that is, the Buddha was very clear about. In talking of his own nature, the nature of the Tathagata, that aware, awake, knowing quality. Even though he was talking about his own subjective experience, it's exactly the same in reference to the wisdom of your own mind. Everybody's mind is the same wisdom, the same awareness. The Tathagata has abandoned any material form, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, or consciousness, whereby one trying to describe the Tathagata might describe him. He has cut it off at the root, made it like a palm tree stump, deprived it of the conditions for existence, and rendered it incapable of arising in the future. The Tathagata, that wisdom faculty, the awake mind, is liberated from being reckoned in terms of material form, feeling, perception, mental formations, or discriminative consciousness. It is profound, immeasurable, unfathomable, like the ocean. Now, even though the Buddha was talking about his own subjective experience, describing that to Vajragotha in those words, reflect upon this in reference to your own experience of knowing. This faculty of awareness, of knowing, of vichara, it's the most real thing there is. But even the thought, I am the awareness, that's what I am. That's just a thought. It's not the awareness itself. I am the Buddha mind, that's what I am. It's just a thought arising and passing away. The practice is not about creating a perfect, accurate thought and then clinging to it, but rather purifying that quality of awakened awareness, vijaya itself, that knowing quality. Being that very knowing, totally attuned to the flow of experience and completely unidentified with it. Participating in the field of perception, thought and feeling, but not grasping, not clinging to it. perfectly attuned, perfectly transcendent. When the mind is awake to the present, there's a simplicity, a naturalness, an easefulness. It's not an exotic, extreme state. It's total normality, simplicity, uncluttedness. So even if that clarity is established only for a moment, let that be fully known. When the grasping stops, there is deathlessness. Notice that. As this week of community retreat time gets underway, even if there's just a moment, a second, half a second, where the grasping stops, notice that. What's the quality of your heart in that moment when the grasping, when the clinging, when the becoming ceases? The simplicity, clarity, normality. No sense of self. And a perfect freedom. Even if it's just for a moment, a finger snap, let that be noticed. Let that be the baseline against which every experience is measured. That simplicity, that naturalness, the mind free of clinging. This is the ground, the baseline to know all movements, all births, beginnings and endings. That's the screen against which to watch them. The base from which they all arise, disappear,